Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College football fans, the College Ball Show returns. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything related to college football, mostly inside those lines. Now, something happened at the very start of the show. I don't know what's going on. I got to check just to make sure that my co-host can hear me and I can hear him. What's going on, Marshall? How the hell are you? You hear me at all?
I'm good. Yeah, I can hear you now. I'm good. So we're good to roll, my friend. And hey, I actually had a profitable Saturday. I don't know if I've said that for many Saturdays so far this year, but I feel a whole lot better waking up Monday morning when college, NFL, and baseball all come through for your pocketbook. You feel a little lighter on the feet, walking around a little happier.
Right? That's funny. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. It just wouldn't – something was up, and I kept refreshing something at the start of there. It was kind of like dead air for like a little time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or did you not notice that?
And then you did the intro again. I'm like, all right, well, round two, here we go.
Right, okay. All right, so the intro happened, and it just didn't click for whatever reason. But we don't have to worry about that. That's in the past. We're dealing with the future, and the future – looks pretty damn bright for this weekend coming up, no doubt about it. I mean, we got ourselves a variety of huge matchups, no doubt about it. We got, for week seven, we got number 5 LSU versus number 7 Florida. It'd be interesting to see how that quarterback heals here because he did have a minor sprain into a ligament in there, so you don't never know how that's going to be. Number 6, Oklahoma versus number 11, the Red River Rivalry. That'll be a huge one, obviously. We got number 1, Alabama is actually playing someone anyway. Number 24, Texas A&M. That'll probably be the last time they're ranked this year. Number 10, Penn State versus number 17, Iowa. You're like, wow, they moved up to number 1? I just realized that I put Iowa State for some odd reason in the description when I read it. That's what threw me off. And then there's just a variety of, you know, a couple other games that are, I would say, that are close to marquee matchups. But, you know, obviously there's several other, you know, games flying under the radar for Week 7. Here at the College Ball Show, we definitely talk betting lines. We call it betting lines banter. We give our predictions. We give maybe like an upset of the week, hardcore barn burners, which is like a game you got to at least keep an eye on the score and maybe probably turn it to the fourth quarter and see a close game, that type of thing. And, of course, we'll recap. We do recap, plenty of recap. We'll recap some of the stuff that happened in week six. Four teams went down inside the top 25. A variety of interesting outcomes across the nation outside the top 25. But inside, we didn't have too much carnage. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You can find it anywhere though. Okay. It's the, you know, it's basically the headquarters, but you can find it anywhere. Ropeadope Radio to listen to the College Ball Show is available on iTunes, AKA Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker, really all over the place, including the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can find that anywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the shows as well. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. We got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu. They got a promo code TGT, as in the Grueling Truth. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. Real quick, there's so many sports going on right now, you need cable, let's be honest, okay? If you're going to watch these games, you probably need cable here. And maybe you've cut the cord, maybe you did, you're not happy. Like I said, you just want some basic package. Try AT&T TV now. You get a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. You have the cloud DVR available. Plans start as low as $50, HBO included. That's AT&T Now, it's a streaming cable service that I actually use. I'm not just pimping it, okay? So what's going on, Marshall? How the hell are you down there in Texas? You know, we got ourselves a big matchup, actually, in Texas. Well, actually, two of them, I guess, but really one of them, Oklahoma and Texas. That's always fun to watch. But how are you doing on a personal level beyond the, you know, winning at will, it sounds like? You're ready to retire? Is that what I'm getting out of this weekend? You're ready to retire now?
I need to have a good month of October and November to forget about September. I'm ready for three or four of these, brother, so my ship can quit sinking.
Sure.
But, you know.
You need, so it's like a Sunday night in Vegas, and you need six different things in a parlay to work to pay for the whole Vegas trip. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but hey, this was a great step in the right direction. And as long as the Astros win their series against Tampa, that's not a good step in the right direction, just to fix in some gambling. Different sport, but they should do that. Anyways, where I did happen to lose some bets this weekend that relate to football and college and NFL, but we'll talk about college. I bet UCF.
We might as well, We might as well talk college.
I bet the Chiefs last night, and they scored 10 points, which they almost never do, but Mahomes got hurt. So they had the longest streak. I think the Chiefs and UCF both had scored 25 points in a game for like 20-plus games in a row, and Mahomes got hurt. But anyways, for college.
30. It's 30-plus Central Florida.
30. And
about
28
in a row, I think. 29 in a row, something like that.
When you bet on a football team to win, and their quarterback throws three interceptions, and they get down to the red zone, I want to say within the 10-yard line three times, and sell for field goals, I'm sorry, but UCF's quarterback is trash. This kid has now had an awful performance against Pitt, had a pretty awful performance against Cincinnati. I know the past couple of years they've had talented quarterbacks, maybe not NFL caliber, but very pretty above average college football quarterbacks. And, you know, now you got a couple of transfers, and obviously you've had the devastating injuries. I mean, that kid they had for a while there, UCF's had some great quarterbacks. And I get that you got a freshman, but the pressure that you've kind of put on yourself of being a great team that's, you know, trying to make a name for themselves, man, their quarterback, Gabriel, it's just the kid just doesn't quite get it yet. And not that that can't change, but hats off to Cincy's defense. They had a pick six. They had two other interceptions. They forced UCF to have three field goals when they were inside the red zone. That is doing all you can. The offense did just enough. So, you know, we mentioned how UCF lost to Pitt a few weeks ago. That was non-conference. Now they have their first conference loss for the first time in, I think, 17 games. So the wheels are coming off UCF a little bit. The talk of them maybe making the playoffs is obviously dead. They started the year off so hot. They killed Stanford. They'd had some good opponents. The things were going good. But having a freshman quarterback it's really starting to show the negativity of just how a young kid can hurt the team. Kind of like Auburn's boy. He had a little bit of a rougher game for the first time, too. You know, but again, you have to remember, you know, these are freshmen. That's why I was kind of surprised, Chris, with how good Auburn's kid had been. I mean, you do expect these quarterbacks for freshmen to have that game where you're like, okay, these are growing pains. We'll get through this. But, so that was an interesting Friday night. That was a pretty fun game to watch despite picking the wrong team. As you've nicely said a couple of times this year, they're doing a better job of having games on Thursday and Friday. Obviously, Thursday now is the NFL night, but most of the time those NFL Thursday night games are pretty bad watches. So it can't even hurt to maybe, okay, hey, this team's down 28 to nothing. Let's slick on the college game. So you're really not losing much there in a way. And I'll make one more point, then I'll throw it to you to kind of kick off the show. Last week I mentioned how I thought Ohio State currently had been playing the best football. They're maybe not the most talented team compared to Alabama and Clemson, but they've been playing the best football, period. And, again, they had another great second quarter. I'm not sure what the MO is for that team. Maybe the first quarter kind of figures stuff out. Maybe it's the coaching differences or something. But first quarter is 3-0. You're thinking, if you're Sparty, okay, we're going to have another classic low-scoring Michigan State-Ohio State type of game. And then Ohio State scores 24 points in about 10 minutes. And you're now all of a sudden now you're down 27-10, and the game is essentially over. Maybe they don't quite have the schedule that Alabama would face in the SEC, but, man, Ohio State, Chris, is playing really good football right now. Again, I can give compliments because Meyer's gone. But, man, that team is a pretty damn good team. And they took care of a team that I know Michigan State's offense isn't great at all. They're probably below average if you are a data person. But Michigan State's defense is superior. And they gave up 34 points. And pretty much after halftime, the game was basically over. Another convincing win for Ohio State, who a lot of people are seeming to think now is the best team in the country. Maybe not by the poll, but from just talking around with people, they got a hell of a squad.
Right, and we were talking about Cincinnati and UCF, for those who didn't quite catch that. It was 19 in a row in conference, and it's crazy. Like, I knew that would be a good game because Cincinnati's a pretty good club, but, you know, that was one of my take it to the windows. Like, there's no way that they lost 2 weeks ago, then they got good against UConn. I think they got back on their swagger, somebody minor, and then I'm thinking, okay, they're going to win. They're going to win this, and they'll win it by 4.5 or whatever it was. And so that was a surprise to me as well. A little surprise there anyway. Georgia handled business after a weird little start. Same with LSU, same with Oklahoma, same with Wisconsin, same with Notre Dame. West Virginia, Texas, that was an interesting game, 42-31. Never really felt like Texas was in danger of losing it or anything like that. Penn State, you know, they started out shaky against Buffalo in that first half. I think they were down like 10-7 or maybe it was 10-10. Maybe they're down 13-10, something like that. They took off, and they haven't stopped on offense since. We know what they did to Maryland. They did the not the same thing, but pretty damn good, 35-7 over Purdue. There were some tight games, though. You know, no doubt about it. Just kind of, you know, a variety of other games weren't, you know, within the maybe top 15 or whatever. But then we started getting into some interesting games, no doubt about it. You know, the biggest one of the day was that Auburn in Florida. And the Knicks, you know, Knicks, he's played well in spots. But if you look at his numbers, though, Marshall, remember that Oregon game? He was playing horrible until he got his shit together. So, you know what I mean? So, you know, and he did get his shit together. Don't get me wrong, he made some big throws in that game. But Trask did not get called trash. I'm sure somebody called him trash, but I really thought, oh, boy, this kid's going to come out. Hopefully he doesn't have a bad game because they're going to call him trash instead of Trask. He came out, was pretty damn good, did exactly what they needed him to do. Wasn't great, wasn't stellar, but he was just solid through two touchdowns, and they ran the ball very well. Had that long, well, I shouldn't say they ran the ball really well. They tried to run it a lot. Trask did have, you know, in college they when you lose a sack goes to the rushing yards, and he had 8 rushes, 8 carries for negative 34. So that's a negative 4.4 a clip, which is not good, I've heard. But that kind of messes up their number. They had that long ass run that really put the game pretty much out of reach by Pierin. That was big. But that Pitts and Swain, those two guys for wide receivers, they really, really did good. I mean, that was pretty damn solid, because other than that, they actually ran the ball pretty well, Auburn did. And they were doing okay. They lost some turnovers. You know, that was another key. But it's like they kept knocking on the door to either, you know, pull ahead or at least be right with them. But they just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. There were a lot of fumbles, though. You know, this game could have been a bigger win as far as margin for Florida. I mean, they had 4 lost fumbles. Both of them turned the ball over 4 times. It was almost like, do you want the game? Nah, you take it, man. No, I want it. No, you can have it, dude. I swear. So the penalties started piling up. And 2 of 14. Was Auburn on 3rd down, and that's just not going to get it done. We knew Auburn wasn't going to go undefeated. In fact, I think they minorly overachieved from what we thought in the first two big games of the year. They got a hell of a schedule that we've been talking about. Maybe the Texas A&M that and them are like the hardest in the country. So, you know, even if they lose 3 games, it wouldn't be the worst thing. But we'll see. You know, they got to bounce right back. So does Florida. Florida, I'm really wondering, speaking of the quarterback that stepped in, you know, he had that light sprain, and he's saying it's okay, and it may be okay, and he played with it, but we'll see how it feels. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that. That makes it hard to predict, not knowing that. And then, obviously, Iowa and Michigan. And last week, you know, I sat there and I battled with it. I was on the fence. It's not like Michigan, you know, played great by any stretch. But one thing they did was stop the run, Marshall, and run the ball pretty well, especially against a solid Iowa defense. They ran for a 120 and only gave up 1 yards rushing on 30 attempts. I did not realize, because the game was so close, they kept running. It really came down to penalties and turnovers, because the field position, the first downs, they were better on 3rd down with the Hawkeyes, but they just couldn't get over the turnovers. 3 interceptions by the veteran quarterback, who we kind of felt like was better coming in than Shea. Shea was just okay, nothing special there, but Iowa goes down 10-3 in a throwback game kind of circa 1983 with these two. But Michigan got back on the good foot to an extent anyway, and pulled it off against the Hawkeyes, man.
It was just a battle of trenches kind of game, and one that they had to win. You know, we've actually talked on Michigan. They might be the most – talked about team we've had on the podcast this year. And that's not due to fandom, but just due to the fact that they've been a polarizing team and they've been on the brink of being like, oh shit, Harbaugh's like about to go or get fired. So they played a physical game of football. They did what they had to do. Their defense, like usual, was lights out. That's normally the case for that team. And we've kind of talked about how, you know, sometimes of late in big games, Michigan's kind of given up points, but that's because their offense hasn't done much. Their offense didn't do much here, but thankfully they did just enough. I mean, when you score 10 points and then the first quarter and don't score again, most of the time in college football, that's not going to get you a win. It's probably going to get your butt kicked. But they got the job done. Harbaugh can take a deep breath. There's a little bit of a positivity and momentum going. I think when they killed Rutgers the week before, that was a little bit of let's get our stuff together kind of game. You know, I know a lot of times in football, Chris, we kind of laugh at the matchups where, you know,
yeah,
Alabama's playing, you know, La Tech or New Mexico State. And even though from like a betting standpoint or from a competitive game, the games normally suck, from a coaching standpoint, sometimes those games can be like, all right, guys, we got to work on, you know, play X, Y, and Z. And if we can actually have those look good, that can build confidence no matter who we're playing. So maybe that Rutgers game was like, okay, guys, we got our shit together now. Let's go out and execute against a better team. But sometimes that confidence boost can be really helpful for a team, especially with Michigan, who'd had a pretty rough start to their schedule. So maybe that was more motivational than we thought and more important. And again, they got the win. It was pretty ugly, kind of old school classic Big Ten football. I guess the only thing missing was it could have been like in the snow or like in the foggy kind of rain weather. It seemed like it was that kind of low scoring game.
Yeah, it did. It seemed like the snow was out or whatever. They're even saying the rain may turn into snow by Friday up here or Saturday, actually.
Oh, wow.
It's funny because it's a gorgeous day and it's like sunny to partly cloudy all week at 65 right now, high of 70 on Sunday, and maybe a high of 38 on Saturday, and possibly that rain turns into snow. So that's always fun. That's Minnesota for you. But yeah, you're right. It's just kind of like, hey man, let's just get through it. Let's get going. We gotta win some games. You know what I mean? And especially these big games, because we talked about their schedule, which really talked about Auburn, talked about A&M, talked about some other teams, but Michigan's got a hell of a schedule. I mean, just being on that side of the division obviously isn't a walk in the park, right? But if you look at their two cross, you know, to play Iowa and Wisconsin, which on the surface, besides my Gophers, obviously, but on the surface, they seem like the two top teams, you know what I mean, over there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny how that works. To some teams, and some teams don't get that. And I don't know if the NCAA is just trying to run Harbaugh out of there or what, but I don't know. I just got a buddy like, damn, this was going to be a tough season regardless. You know, people shouldn't have thought that they were going to go 11-1, but now watch, they'll run the table. They did get hot last year. And I remember that blowout, like 42-7. We went over it last year. When was the last time they won big games? And that's why it felt so good near the end of last year. It really felt like they had their shit together, but boy, were we wrong. Then we had some ranked teams get beat. We talk about Cincinnati, UCF, 18. They'll probably get knocked out maybe. We also had, well, obviously Iowa getting knocked out because they're a ranked team, but they were going against a ranked team, so someone's going to lose there. There's no ties in college football anymore. Stanford showed up. They actually, I believe they got, well, now they have three freshmen or redshirt freshmen on their line, but I think they got some help back. You know, Michigan State and Stanford are known for run and defense, but if you're not, your offensive line's not up to par, shit's going to go south, and it is, and not in a good way. But Stanford found a way to get a nice W at home, 23-13 over Washington. Washington will show up and look good one week like they did against USC. And I don't know if they had their guard down thinking this isn't the same Stanford team. We're going to go in there. We're going to be the bullies. They ended up getting bullied. Like I mentioned, 23-13. I remember watching that kind of late night on DVR. After I got home from work, I also was watching some boxing. Golovkin and Derevchenko was a really, really good fight for those who, partake in that. Oklahoma State coming off, a pretty good game, I thought, against Texas, and they had some nice wins. They lose to Texas Tech. Hey, Texas Tech popped up and got a bigger win this year, 45-35, and SMU in three overtimes. They beat Tulsa 43-7, and this is the first time SMU beat TCU earlier. They're 6-0, Marshall, for the first time since 1982. So they got to be feeling good at SMU. They're ranked, by the way. They are ranked. That was kind of interesting how that went. What'd you think of some of those games? Oh, another game that I forgot to mention, Oregon hung on at Cal. We talked about how the hell is it an 18-point spread? Maybe because they're missing a quarterback, but they only lost by 10, Cal did, and they had a chance to win that game. What'd you think of some of that West Coast stuff going on from last week, man?
I think it would be really frustrating to be a Washington fan because it seems like every year the team gets a good amount of hype for about the past 5 or 6 or 7 years, and then you lose a couple of games where it just they don't, they're the favorites. It never quite seems to make sense. Like they're just a confusing squad. They normally always seem to have a good defense. They have a hell of a coach. They took care of USC like they're supposed to with the young quarterback, and now you got Stanford, who's one of the weakest Stanford teams in a really long time, who's just kind of been looking like crap all the whole season so far, and then you go lay an egg against them. I don't know. Every year there's two or three losses where we do our podcast, and it's like, well, Washington blew another one, and I don't quite get them. They're interesting. But props to Stanford. A lot of times in college football, as we've seen in Tennessee, for example, when the ball starts going downhill and you start losing games you're not supposed to, and you're kind of like, fans are kind of wondering what the hell is going on, the ball can keep rolling down the hill. And Tennessee's ball has still been rolling down the big-ass hill.
Yeah.
Stanford, that
I think it's a mountain, dude.
Going down Mount Everest.
It's a mountain, dude. It's not a foothill.
Yeah.
It's a mountain, dude.
But Stanford, it's probably the worst team that Shaw's had, since Harbaugh's left. But they get a win that's, impressive for them. So they're going to keep fighting.
Right.
The Texas Tech game, man, that team, I think with the new coach besides Cliff, that's probably got to be a pretty nice win for the new coach. Still trying to obviously, identify your team a little more defensively. But I will say, they're not elite quarterbacks, but they got that Bauman, who was their regular quarterback. That poor kid had, he had his lung collapse on him twice last year. But then I also remember the name Jet Duffy. Jet Duffy played Saturday and led him to a victory. That guy's pretty special, too. And they beat Oak State 45-35. Oklahoma State was a 10-point favorite in Lubbock, and Lubbock won by 10. So, again, the Red Raiders, they're obviously not trying to probably be a top-two team in the Big 12, but, new coach trying to get things going, get a nice W there. And Oklahoma State now, things were looking pretty good. You're undefeated. The season's off to a 4-0 start. And, now you're 4-2 and you're 1-2 in the Big 12. So, little kind of tough patch, I guess you could say. Obviously, playing Texas Tech, you have a great running back in Chuba Hubbard, but I guess the at Texas, K-State, at Texas Tech is a pretty tough start. And now you got to go to Baylor, you got to play Baylor at home, and they're one of the most physical teams in the Big 12. So maybe Oklahoma State bounces back, because if you fall to 4-3 and 1-3 in conference, you're looking at a pretty mediocre to sad season for a team that was ranked, I want to say, 13th or 14th only a couple weeks ago, Chris.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes that happens, man. You get off to a good start, and you're like, oh, back-to-back losses. You got to somehow get it. They needed to win one of those games, and if you're not going to be Texas, you got to be Texas Tech. A couple of barn burners turned out, besides one of them, Iowa State. Well, Welcome to the college football season 2019, Iowa State. 49-24 over TCU. Big home game. One of the barn burners. I thought it'd be an upset here. Boston College was a 5.5-point underdog. They lost to Louisville at Louisville 41-39. So they snuck under the spread, but I thought they were going to pull a full upset. Also, Western Michigan and Toledo, that was a barn burner, 31-24. I thought that the Minnesota Illinois would be a barn burner. That turned out to be a one-sided slaughter. Arizona starting to look up over there, 35-30, got a nice win over Colorado, another barn burner. Pitt and Duke. Pitt just keeps doing it on the road, this time to Duke, who was 4-1, I believe, 33-30. That was another barn burner that turned out to be actually a barn burner. Nebraska kept it going. They got a big game against my Gophers, 13-10. It really doesn't look like Northwestern. It's kind of like they have that run, and then they need a couple of years to get back, and it feels like they're in the couple of years part. You mentioned Baylor. They got a nice win, 31-12, on the road at K-State. Baylor now, you know, we got to start paying attention to them a little bit. They're undefeated. Things are looking up when it comes to them. We'll see.
You know,
I mean, obviously they had a – go ahead.
I admit that the Jets actually offered that Matt Rhule the head coaching job there. But he wanted to take his own staff, and the Jets told him no. So, I mean, you know, that guy did a hell of a job at Temple. He appears to be doing a hell of a job at Baylor, a ground and pound tough physical guy. I mean, if you have a guy coaching college football who get offered a head coach job in the NFL, they could maybe be the surprise, let's put up a fight against Oklahoma and Texas kind of team, you know, in the Big 12 this year, and maybe challenge for one of those top two spots.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a really good call, man. They're definitely – we got to keep an eye on them, no doubt about it, man. I mean, usually they're non-conference. Well, it sucks, but, you know, now they're starting to beat some teams here. You know what I mean? Now they're starting to beat some teams. Some of them was close. That Iowa State game was close. They ended up pulling it out. Just on the home front, two of the teams that I cheer for, the Gophers and Miami, one lost, one just destroyed Illinois 40-17. And, wow, man. I mean, talk about a ground and pound game, over 300 yards rushing. The freaking veteran Smith, who's just a stud, Rodney Smith, he's halfway to 1,000 already. He had his career high 211, had a long 64-yard touchdown run. And Shannon Brooks, who's coming back from injury, last 2 years he hasn't been able to play much because he gets these serious injuries. It was nice to see him get a 111, 52 carries, 332 yards, Marshall, at 6.4 a clip. When you run the ball 52 times, you're thinking like a 3.5 average. You'll probably be happy with that. You know what I mean? Just because you did it so much. Wow. I'll tell you what, the receivers came in handy when they needed them. You know, they still had a pretty good day. Tyler Johnson, guy from North Minneapolis here, hometown kid. He did his thing. He caught a ball, tipped it up, kind of to himself like a volleyball player, set it, and then spiked it for the touchdown. Morgan, who had that great game last week, was more of a game manager and made some big plays. Still had 3 touchdowns, though. You know, I'm calling him a game manager. He had 9 completions and had 3 touchdowns. And it was really, like, real windy and real rainy in the first half. And there was about 5 drops in there. So it could have been a little bit more. It was nice to see the quarterback Morgan, though, kind of bounce back from a pick 6 that started out. But, you know, more doom and gloom for the offensive side. Well, I shouldn't say that. So talking Miami, look at how they – remember that game I told you? Look at how it started. We had this happen, that happened, this happened, that happened, and that's why you're down 28-0. And they still almost came back and won that game. Well, look at this, dude. 5 turnovers by Miami, most of them in the first half, led to 21 points off Virginia Tech. I think it was 28-3. Seven sacks by Virginia Tech's defense. They played two different quarterbacks. We did have a Hail Mary TD right at the end. It got tipped around and caught, and it sparked them. And then they also got a nice little two-point conversion, but the rain came out of nowhere. But anyway, long story short, the Canes cannot start games. Well, they just can't do it. They get down to everybody. They actually – I mean, look at how this started, Marshall. I mean, this is just comical. All right, Miami's got the ball. Couple plays, interception. That led to a touchdown. Got the ball again, interception. Defense held, three and out. Got the ball again, interception. Led to a touchdown. Got the ball again, one play, Marshall. Fumble, led to a touchdown. It's 21-0 and pretty much 28-0, and then another interception. If it wasn't for that Hail Mary to make it 28-7, this game would have been completely gone. But, excuse me, kudos to Miami for pulling their head out of their ass on offense. But they came all the way back, Marshall, and they were leading, or I'm sorry, it was tied 35-35, and ended up getting a touchdown. They had a 10-play drive with a minute left, couldn't get it in there to tie the game. The only positive, they benched the quarterback they've been going with, and Nikosi Perry had a hell of a day. He threw 28 for 47, four touchdowns, only one pick, and 422. So maybe they found something there. How about you on your side of the rooting interest equation?
Lane Kiffin had a bye. USC had a bye. Thank God I don't got a bitch about Clay Helton for a week. I'm sure you appreciate that. And I don't really have to hit my Lane Kiffin quota either. No, I just did. Go Kiffin.
And, even though you did, you kind of sat halfway bitched about him anyway. So, yeah, keep going.
And Missouri killed Troy. So, for the Missouri game, I bet $50. Okay, I was like, Troy's defense sucks. I hope Mizzou gets the ball first and they'll score. I bet $50 Missouri will score first. Troy got the ball, moved down the field, and scored on the first drive. So, there goes my $50. And then, just to kind of rub it in, Mizzou scored the next 47 points. I don't think it was too bad of a bet. I sat, or 42. I just happened to pick the wrong side right at the start there. But I was like, oh, man, this might be a shootout. No, it's 42 points unanswered by Missouri. So the only bad news to report is Mizzou lost their best linebacker, Torin Peck, for the year. That's a tough beat. I saw that on the ESPN kind of. They always have a Twitter line where we're always looking at games. We always pull up the ESPN stats to kind of go over information as we do our show. Torin Peck for the year, losing the heart of the defense. That one's tough. You know, whether it's pro or college, especially college, you really can't replace your best player in the backup. You know, who knows? So I hate to hear that. But you know, Mizzou is supposed to be 7-0. And you know they're 4-1, 5-1 now. So I mean they're taking care of business after that embarrassing loss to Wyoming to start the season.
Right.
But again, like usual, it's going to be can Odom, kind of like Clay Helton, can he win a big game and can they beat Georgia? They've had a couple of years now where they get off to really good starts and then Georgia comes in there and kicks our butt. I don't think this year's team can beat Georgia from Missouri, but. At least a competitive matchup would be nice because we're almost guaranteed a bowl. I mean, as soft as our schedule is in some parts, we're probably going to a bowl this year. But having a win against Georgia would be a step in the right direction and probably the best win that Odom's had as a head coach. So, yeah, overall, not too bad. And to get to kind of intermingle our favorite teams, I actually watched the second quarter of the Gophers in Illinois. I did a little watching of PJ Fleck. You know, I love that guy, and I love that people hate the guy, so I like him even more. But I watched your squad, and, you know, I kind of enjoyed cheering for that team. I thought the stadium was a little bit light, but I think the weather looked pretty shitty there. So, nonetheless, a nice job for the Gophers and PJ continuing to win. I can't help but love that guy. He's a player's type of coach. Maybe if him and Zimmer actually switched, that would benefit the city together, but that's a whole different rant for a different time.
No. Don't try to get rid of a great coach already. We just got the bastard. Let's hold on to him. 5-0, though. 5-0 is 5-0, right? I mean, is that a true statement?
Yeah.
5-0 is 5-0?
Amen. Yeah, they didn't have the hiccup like Mizzou had against Wyoming. A win is a win. And granted, all three of your first wins were by 7-3 and 3-7.
Can't just let me enjoy it, huh?
A W is a damn W.
I mean, BYU is always in a close game. Why can't we be?
Well, and one complete just side note for fun. If I was still back in college, I think I would maybe consider, like, a year in Morgantown, because that team never has, like, an elite college basketball team or an elite college football team. But, man, that you would have thought that was, like, a national title game. The first half they had at a good old Country Roads, I guess, take me home, West Virginia. Man, that place was bouncing for Texas. And they always seem to be going nuts for Kansas whenever they play Kansas in basketball. I got to say, I think the kids in Morgantown have a pretty fun tailgating sport college atmosphere, Chris. I know there's other colleges like that, but, man, that city seems to enjoy the rivalry games and must be really good at partying or at least having a fun time.
Well, yeah, then you can also visit Rand, too, and see where Randy Moss is from. You know what I mean? Just head on
Amen.
Over to Rand.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And then, you know, the white chocolate as well, right around that area.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of fans going nuts, Florida and LSU play football. They're going to play football. And it's an interesting matchup right about now. You know, it's been a while since Florida has, well, shit, been a top five team or top seven team, I should say, I guess. It's been a while. You know, are they for real? We're going to find out. This one's at 7 o'clock. I mean, we could break this game down all we want, right? But we know what happens on a Saturday night at LSU. Am I right here? I mean, we could talk about, you know, is the quarterback going to be okay? Kyle Trask, you know, is his ligament, you know, partially sprained. They say it's coming along. We won't know. But when it comes to Tiger Stadium at night, it's a tough one for anybody. And Vegas has them 13.5-point favorite, about 10.5 straight up. So that's pretty crazy. Now, I'll say this. The defense hasn't necessarily always looked like a Tiger defense, okay?
True.
I will say that. That's the one thing that kind of makes me go, hold on, wouldn't that be crazy if they got this stellar offense and then something happens with their defense, or maybe they can't run the ball as well then. They can't run in deep. They can only pass. Wouldn't that be crazy? But what are your thoughts here? I mean, I'm picking LSU just because of what I said. LSU at night at home, good fucking luck. But also you throw in maybe they'll have another quarterback, maybe they won't. And Joe Burrow, I mean, 22 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. We're in week 6, Marshall. Are we talking about an LSU Tiger quarterback? Because it doesn't feel like it.
So you're telling me we get Kinnick at night and LSU at night. That is badass, Chris.
It's badass betting.
That Kinnick, and Kinnick's a dog. We'll get there later. But, Mile, you got the two best venues in football. I'm sorry, Morgantown. Y'all look like fun, but LSU and Iowa at night. It's going to be a fun Saturday night. For this game itself, I would expect to see LSU's defense step up their game a little bit. It was a little eye-opening, Chris, to see how effectively Texas did move the ball up and down the field on LSU. I don't think people quite thought that was going to happen. Not that Texas's offense is bad, but LSU's defense is normally pretty damn good. But LSU's offense has just been murdering people this year, so that's been covering it up a little bit. But, yeah, I would expect the home crowd at night, big rivalry matchup, to step up a little more. But I think just, are we going to excuse me, is Florida going to find a way to slow down LSU's offense? Joe Burrow was the guy last year who had a game, I believe, against Auburn, where he had 17 incomplete passes in a row, and he won the game. And you're thinking, okay, this guy's like a blue-collar, never-quit kind of quarterback. We'll make the plays for his team, and we're good to go. Now the dude's completing like 73% of his passes and is on record for having like maybe the best completion percentage in college football history. Like, oh, man, that dude must have put in so much damn time in the offseason, because that just doesn't normally happen. You don't see strides of a guy that's, you know, passing around probably 55% last year-ish to now 73 in a potential record. So I'm not sure what he did.
Three wideouts, too. Yeah. Like, pick your poison with those three wideouts. Just put it up to them. It's a touchdown.
It's just their offense is just – it's killing people. And I think everyone's kind of catching on to the fact that, holy shit, LSU's got an offense. Because as you mentioned, it's been the opposite for how – they're like DBU. Those guys have freaking draft picks every year going in whatever position, really, from their defense going pro. And now you got an offense that's just on fire. So I think they take care of business. Vegas seems to be on top of their game normally with these point spreads this year more often than not. I think you saying the 13 is saying, you know, hey, they deserve to be 13. Like, that's what's, you know, call an ace an ace. I think they're on point there. And, you know, if Florida's quarterback is a little dinged up, you know, and he, let's say he can't go re-aggravates his knee, you know, now you got a third-string quarterback who'd have to go into the game fresh at LSU. Like, that doesn't sound too good, Chris. That sounds like a pretty damn hard game to do. And last point, we always talk about how college is such a sport of games for matchups. Florida just had a hell of a hard game against Auburn, you know, and they got the W, but they just had a pretty good battle. And LSU beat the crap out of Utah State. So, you know, LSU is probably a little more prepped from the game last week. You know, they probably didn't have to worry about all the X's and O's so much for Utah State. And now, you know, you're at home, so – just kind of the scheduling home advantage definitely doesn't hurt LSU this week after kind of a layup game versus Florida, who was, you know, I know you said they played well against Auburn, but that's still probably a little bit of a tougher battle that the players have to recover from compared to LSU. I think they hung up like 48 or something on Utah State, and the offense just kept rolling.
Yeah, you're right. And sometimes it's hard to get up like that and perform like that. And just to kind of piggyback off this offense, dude, first game, 55 points, second game, 45, third game, 65, then 66 came, I think it was the fifth team ever in the SEC to go back-to-back for 60, then 42-6. Utah State's not that bad. I actually thought Utah State would lose by less than 28 or 29, whatever it was, 29.5 or 28.5. I was wrong, 42-6, dude. And then here's the kicker. They're LSU's rushing the ball for 155 a game. That's pretty good. Usually they're a little bit better than that. Sounds kind of weird to say that, but college, you know, 155 is good. It's not awesome. Now, there's plenty of 200-yard, you know, offenses. But right now, Marshall, they're averaging 416 passing yards. LSU, do we got to go over this? 571 yards per game. Oh my goodness, girl. Les Miles has just got to be chewing on grass all fucking day. Like, he's just got to be like, wow, dude, why couldn't I get somebody in there to do that? And sometimes you just need to hear a different voice. He had a great run there. He was one of the coaches that actually would battle right there neck and neck a lot of the times. With Alabama and Saban, and he got unlucky. Let's not act like he didn't get unlucky. The first time that they have the you know, or not the first time, but, you know, to beat Alabama and then have to play him again in the you know, the national championship, that's about as unlucky as it gets, dude. You know, the way the system set up previously, right? That's pretty. You're not going to get that. You're not going to play someone and then play them in the national title game. It's just not going to happen. Now we'll see it more, but that's just it's that's crazy. But anyway, So, like I said, Les Miles had a hell of a run there. They obviously fell off because of their offense, and now they are just pumping. So we got them both winning cleanly. We'll see. Some of it has to do with their quarterback as well. Oh, you never know. All right, another big matchup. This one still in the South, but more of the Southwest there in Texas. Number 6, Oklahoma versus number 11, Texas. Now, Texas has had a tougher schedule, no doubt about it, than Oklahoma. How you feeling in this one? Because, you know, on the low, you got, you got Hurts. That's just, this guy is just, he is their offense. 14 touchdowns through the air. Only 2 picks, 7 touchdowns on the ground, almost just short of 500 yards. He's halfway to 1,000 on the ground. So that's pretty crazy. How are you feeling here? Now, they got Oklahoma at a 10.5 right off the bat. It feels like I'm looking at that as an against the spread that maybe, just maybe, they can sneak under and lose by 10. I'm kind of back and forth with that. I'm not over the top with that. The problem is the pass defense for Texas, giving up 325 a game, which is just ridiculous. Now, I will say this. Oklahoma hasn't been that great against the run, and if Texas can run, which we know that they've had, you know, a plethora of running back issues. But like I said, they've had to play a tougher schedule. So sometimes that makes your stats look a little weird, like we were talking about last week with Michigan. Their run defense looks like crap, but they played Wisconsin, and then they played Army. Those are like the top 5 running attacks in the whole – rushing attacks in the whole country. So your stats may look a little skewed. They held them to 1 yard, you know, 30 rushes, 1 yard. So what are your thoughts here, man? I mean, Vegas tells us that Oklahoma's going to win. They haven't really been, you know, pushed this year against a good team. How's this one going to play out? Because like I said, I mean, I'm looking at their – I mean, they put up 49, 70, 48, 55, 45. My guess is it's going to go – what's the over-under? I don't know the over-under yet, but I'm saying it's going to go over.
Yeah, you know, all I keep hearing is injuries, injuries, injuries. I know that Texas keeps getting more and more beat up. Their secondary is beat up. Their defense is beat up. Their running backs are beat up. You know, last year for this game was pretty much okay. You know, Oklahoma was the favorite, but it was pretty evenly matched. And I just don't recall hearing all the injuries over and over again. So I think that alone is a reason why you got to lean to Oklahoma. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason why the point spread is what it is. I mean, Texas hung in there with LSU pretty competitively. I mean, it seemed like they went from down 14 to down 7 back and forth the whole second half, but it was a pretty good game. But since that day, it just seems they keep losing more bodies. And I don't think they're going to slow down Texas's offense. And also, Oklahoma's defense is massively better than what they were last year. I remember I went to this game last year, and it was hard to watch football because the defense was so pitiful. Now you bring in the defensive coordinator from Washington State and Grinch, who's, and again, I'm not saying that Oklahoma's defense is becoming anywhere too elite, but it's a lot better than what it used to be. And it used to be trash. Last year, this game was just embarrassing. That ended up getting their actual former DC fired. So I think Oklahoma's got a better defense this year, less injuries, a better quarterback. I'm going to say a better head coach, because I don't like Herman. But I just think there's too much going against Ellinger, where Texas is going to have to try to outscore Oklahoma this year again like usual, but you're going up against a defense that actually knows probably how to tackle this year, Chris, which is a step in the right direction. So I would lean Oklahoma. The way this rivalry goes, you know, it's always kind of tough to bet rivalry games from a Vegas standpoint. Oklahoma could easily win this game, you know, be up 17 and give up a touchdown, you know, in the last, you know, minute. Or, you know, last year Oklahoma's favored, I think they were favored by 10 or 12 again last year, and they lost the game, you know. So when it comes to betting rivalry games in college football, it's normally pretty good to stay away unless your gut's really telling you something. But 9 out of 10 times when you bet college football rivalries, you're almost better to bet the opposite of what you think. You know, that just seems to be the case a lot of the time. Because these teams could give two shits about what the point spread is. They know it's been back and forth. And I guess if you're Oklahoma, you want a little revenge and redemption. I guess you did beat them in the Big 12 title game. But, yeah, so I think Oklahoma, just that there's too many banged-up bodies on Texas to compete in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was well put. And Ingram is going to need to have a 100-yard game or something, that running back, the one that they have that can, is an actual running back that they plan on playing this year. But Ellinger, man, 17 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's having a great year, but like you said, you can't do it all by yourself. I'm going with Oklahoma as well. I'm right there with you. I'm looking at that 10 points and I'm like, can they, or 10 and a half, can they tuck under, can they get it to 10 late garbage? Yeah, I don't know. Number one, Alabama versus number 24, Texas A&M. This will be the last time A&M is ranked of the year. What do you say about that, sir? By the way, that Vivid Seats for that Cotton Bowl, tickets start as low as $272. $272 just to get in the building. And there is a lot of seats, too. It's not like the MGM Grand in a boxing event. You can see, like, a big boxing event, $272, your cheapest ticket. Okay, well, there's only 17,000 tickets available. But we know there's going to be a lot more than 17,000 people at the Cotton Bowl for that rivalry. Back to A&M. What do you think here, man? You hate to say, oh, they don't have a shot in hell. But, and they've had, as we've documented, they played Auburn tight. They played Clemson relatively tight. They're not afraid of, you know, getting their elbows dirty, so to speak. It will be – is this – help me out. Is it at A&M? I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's at A&M.
Yep.
So that'll help. What do you think, man? The ESPN's not showing the spread right now. I could look it up. I'm not sure. But what do you think here, man? And by the way, well, go ahead. I'll let you give your take. I got a stat on Tua, which is just freaking ridiculous. Go figure.
I just think Alabama takes care of business. I mean, if – I don't know. Texas A&M only scored, you know, 3 points until they put together a late barrage against Auburn. You know, if your offense was struggling, you know, against and not that Bama's defense is good as Auburn's, but, you know, if you only scored 3 points or whatever the first 3 quarters against them, your offense is going to have to get rolling a lot quicker. This is also kind of, for Bama, like, this is kind of the game where they can start to maybe show out a little bit. You know, they've had a pretty basic schedule so far this year. You know, you've beat up Duke, New Mexico State, South Carolina, Southern Miss, Old Miss. Now you finally get to have a little bit of a spotlight game. So if you're saving, you're thinking, okay, guys, like, time to actually go out and put on a show. You know, it's the 2:30 CBS, your classic middle-of-the-day SEC game. So maybe a little extra emphasis as if, you know, Bama ever needed that. But they're scoring points at will. Like, they've put up 42, 62, 47, 49, 59. I don't see that number slowing down. Texas A&M, maybe they'll make the game close at the start, but I just, unless your offense is really rolling, you know, I just don't see how this one's going to happen. You know, a couple of years ago,
I can't hear you right now, Marshall. I can't hear you, Marshall. Oh, it dropped. Okay, he dropped. He just dropped. I'm sure he'll call back in. Oh, man, he's got a minute to call back in. What the hell is going on with this last-second stuff? Dude, that's the third time this season it's happened. Now, he's got him. Okay, let's see. Okay, he's back. Okay, he's back. Man. All right, we're making sure. Dude, you got in just in time, too, man. Okay, cool. He's back. We're going to close this one out here in just a second. I got the point spread. It is 18 points favorite, the Crimson Tide, and the over-under sit at 60.5. I'm going to go ahead and bring Marshall back in here. Marshall, what's up with the end of the show? That's three times this year now. I don't know what the hell's going on, dude.
I'm usually the one getting dropped from a
military plane or some shit that happens. I don't know what's going on, man.
It's like my phone is like, oh, you've been on for an hour. Goodbye. Like that? No, that's not part of my KF. That's not part of my package or plan. Like, what the hell?
Right.
I don't know. So I would lean towards Bama, and I would even take Bama with the points. So I'm roll tide, 17.5, maybe put them in a teaser, tease it down to like 11 or 12, and roll the dice with save. And again, it's their first big game of the year. Tua might want to show off a little bit and put up some good numbers like usual.
Yeah, and speaking of Tua, now that Justin Herbert and Justin Fields have both thrown picks, their first picks of the year, Tua is now the only FBS passer, and this is with at least 12 touchdowns, who has yet to throw a pick on the season. So far, 23 touchdowns, zip zero on the interceptions. What were you going to say, though?
Speaking of other top-notch teams who might want to show out a little bit, a game I would not bet, or I would not bet Florida State. They're a 27-point underdog to Clemson. I'm not going to go upset of the year. I think Florida State gets their ass kicked, just for a good 10-second summary. If I had to bet, I would take A&M to have a chance. I think that Clemson-Florida State game could get a little ugly, Chris. I don't think this is the weekend where Willie Taggart wins over his fellow alumni and fans.
What's the spread?
27.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm calling under the spread. I'm calling under the spread. It's a rivalry game. Okay, it is a rivalry game. I know the last few years it hasn't felt like it, but if you go back about 8 years, it's been a rivalry game. Okay, there's one.
Yeah.
They're coming off a win where they actually did something, 31-13. They got a bye week, okay, so they can lick the wounds. They scored 31-35, lost to a decent Virginia team. A good one, actually. They played pretty good against Notre Dame as well, 31-24. And they barely lost to a team, Boise State, who's a good team, and they freaking were like up 18 or some shit, or up 10 points. I don't know. Not saying Florida State's going to win, but I'm going against you. 27. I think they can sneak under that 27. They're going to lose by 26.5. Now, one more rank versus rank, then we could kind of chit-chatter about some other stuff as well, as far as games under the radar, hardcore barn burners against the spread stuff, that Notre Dame at home 11-point spread with USC. It's kind of interesting if you ask me. I could see USC kind of bouncing back. But Penn State and Iowa, right now, Penn State is a juggernaut. Like I mentioned, offensively anyway, we know that the last 2 years they've lost some weapons on offense. And overall, once you have a great run, you generally have to recycle. They did beat a pretty good Pitt team, right? They just demoralized Maryland. They still haven't gotten
Are you saying that Saquon Barkley is hard to replace? Is that what you're kind of hinting at? I wasn't quite sure.
I mean, that's not who I was talking about, but yeah, I was talking about their backup punter, but whatever, dude.
Okay.
So, here's the deal. So we can talk about Clifford all we want. He's having a good season. They're not really running the ball, but they're throwing the ball pretty well. 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Like I said, got a nice little win against a rival Pitt, in-state rival. Will Iowa come in here kind of loosey-goosey? Okay, we all know, we said it at the beginning, is this just one that we say, okay, what time's kickoff? Okay, it's in Iowa, at Kinnick Stadium. What do you do? tickets start as low as 117, so you know Penn State is coming out there as well. What do you think about this one? Do you throw out the stats? Do you throw out some evidence that we've seen with Penn State that really looks like they got their offense going and say, yeah, that's nice and all, but Iowa at night, good luck?
I cannot go against Iowa at night. Kinnick at night is just – it's a fun venue. If they do lose, they ain't going to be a blowout. And, God, it does seem – it's always freaking Iowa and Penn State, too. I remember watching my – with my
or
dad
Ohio
a couple
State
years
couple
ago.
Years back. Remember they kicked Iowa State's ass – or, I mean, Ohio State's ass.
Yeah. And I remember the Saquon Barkley hurdle game against Iowa. Man, Iowa, Penn State – and Penn State's a 4.5-point favorite. Bet Iowa, yes, sir. I mean, Iowa's coming off a tough loss to Michigan. You're pissed off. You Kinnick at night. Dude, this game's going to be fun. Obviously, if you're Iowa, you want to have a little better performance. Your quarterback threw three picks. Obviously, being at home is a little more assuring. You're right, though, Chris. This game doesn't have quite the firepower we're used to. We're used to only having an Iowa running back who's going to be a top two round draft pick with a pretty, you know, kind of stable quarterback. I think this game is lacking a little bit of skills on both teams, but nonetheless, it's Penn State, Iowa at night, and that crowd's going to be freaking nuts like they always are. So it's just going to be a fun game. I'll lean Iowa just because I can never pick against them, especially if you're getting 4.5. Game on. I'm taking Iowa State. Or excuse me, I'm taking Iowa against.
Iowa. Now that is a pussy way to get out of that prediction. No, no, I said Iowa State, dude. I thought we were talking about a different game, dude. They played it at night too. yeah, I'm going with Iowa. Until you prove me wrong, I'm going with Iowa. But I just. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. A couple other games that come to mind. Look at this. We're talking about Morgantown, West Virginia, at Morgantown. Iowa State's a 10.5-point favorite.
Jeez.
And we know they're coming off a great. Yeah, we know they're coming off a great win. They put up some points. I'm just kind of scratching my head at that one, going, huh. That's a lot of – I mean, we were talking about Zimmer earlier. He loves to play the you know, just us against them. They could take a look at that spread and share it to the locker room and be like, they don't believe in us, I guess. Wake Forest, undefeated. Louisville on the road coming in to Wake Forest, 7-point spread. Wake Forest is favored by 7, not the craziest thing, but I you may want to take a flyer on that one. Louisville's an okay club. Number 19, they're 19 now, Wake Forest. How about getting Minnesota ranked? We are ranked in the coaches' poll, by the way. There's a couple other games I want to kind of
Chris,
look at here.
You mentioned,
go ahead.
You mentioned that. I know you're normally humble about your boys, but how do you feel? I think from a momentum standpoint, you're off to a much better start this year than Nebraska. Nebraska was assuming to be riding high. They're off to a pretty garbage start. They just got their butt kicked by Ohio State. They beat Northwestern by 3. Percent chance you think the Gophers are 6-0 after this week and are able to take down the Cornhuskers?
Is there a higher percent than 100? No, just kidding.
Roll the boat, baby. Roll the boat.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just fucking around. We are a favorite, though, right? I believe they're the favorite. I can't remember what it was at. It's actually not on. It's not on ESPN right now. But I think they're the favorite. I want to say 4.5. Could be wrong. Maybe it's 7. God, if it's 7, I may have to look at that against the spread. Well, Martinez. How many Martinez's can they recruit at Nebraska? I'm getting sick of this Martinez family coming in here and destroying
like
our Gophers.
Like the damn Plumlee's at Duke.
Yeah, like, dude, get rid of these dudes, man. Like, go someplace else, someone not named Martinez in the back. I mean, man, it's been just the Cornhuskers with Martinez's have just killed us, dude. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Gophers have a 68.2% chance. I should screenshot that shit. Because when do you see that? And by the way, this one's at TCF. Tickets as low as $77. So you know the Cornhuskers bought some tickets up, no doubt about it. They'll have their own huge section, probably a couple sections. You know, with Martinez banged up and our defense starting to come around, did Minnesota finally break out and squash somebody 40-17? Or is that just smoke and mirrors and they're going to get back to close, you know, to what they were? Last week I talked about Miami and Virginia Tech. Somehow, some way, Miami was a 14-point favorite in that one. Couldn't figure it out. But I also couldn't figure out Minnesota being a 14-point spread because, you know, they had barely won all their games. So one team, you know, tore it up 40-17. We know Miami didn't. Long story short, I guess I'm just trying to duck this pick, but I'm picking the Gophers. I'm picking the Gophers. Shannon Brooks now, we got two healthy running backs. Our starting two wide receivers, and then we got some other, you know, Antoine Bell is a damn good player, just ask Fresno State. And Winfield Jr. just asked Fresno State the last 2 years, but he also got a pick this last game. I'm just, I guess, really excited here. I think it'll be a score fest, and I don't know what the over-under is set at. I don't know the spread right now, but
it's 52.5, and you're -7.5.
Ooh, wow. So oh my God, this has got just loss all written all over, dude. The 7-point spread, the power index favoring them almost 70%. Yeah, Gophers are going to lose this one. No, I think they'll win in a scoring fest. I think it'll be a score fest, and I think it'll go over. But I got my Gophers getting that one done. That's what I think. As long as Martinez, we got to take out Martinez. That's what we got to do. Another one here that I'm scratching my head at, Colorado. Is not the Colorado from, 3 years ago when they got to the big the Pac-12 championship and all that, had that run where I think they won 11 games, 11-2, 10-2, whatever it was. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. They've been hanging around, okay? They haven't been just getting destroyed. They barely lost to Arizona 35-31. What's-his-toes Tate threw for over 400 yards. Looks like he's back. We know we've documented Arizona State as a squad with Herm Edwards. They beat them 34-31. They barely lost to Air Force. They beat Nebraska 34-31. They're not that bad of a club. Now, am I saying, you know, how do you have Oregon favored? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about against the spread. And they got them by 20.5, Marshall. 20.5. Now, I know once you get, you know, your offense rolling, you start to get up for a couple touchdowns. We've seen just crazy blowouts. So it can happen, but I'm scratching my head at that going, I don't know. I think that Colorado can maybe stay under that 20.5. That is one that I'm kind of eyeballing. Another one, excuse me, that I was, I need some water. Oh, Arizona State, a 2.5-point favorite at home to Washington State. And by the way, Washington State, Clays, a guy who was a hell of a defensive coordinator up here, had helped turn them around last year, or about the last maybe year and a half since he had been there. He's done. He actually stepped down. They didn't fire him. He stepped down. He resigned. But here it is. ASU 2.5-point favorite over Washington State. I feel like Arizona State's going to win that game. And then I think I have – oh, here we go. So Baylor is undefeated, as we just talked about. Now Vegas has got them a 9-point favorite over Texas Tech. That's one where I'm looking going, I'm not sure if I'm ready to do that. That might be a tighter game.
Yeah, and, you know – it just depends how young and a growing team Texas Tech is. You know, you just had a nice home win upset, and now you're going to play against a team, Baylor, whose confidence is probably riding as high as possible. Again, you have a hell of a head coach for all we can tell. Again, a smashing in the mouth. They just beat up K-State, who I looked like a fool last week on the show. I thought that'd be like a neck-to-neck football game, and Baylor smacked them. And, you know, so that should be a fun one. But, again, completely different styles. Texas Tech, I know they got a new head coach, and you're trying to get a better defense, but still, you're still going to be chucking the ball everywhere. Baylor's going to try to run the ball down your throat, and that spread is a little bit higher, though. I'm with you. And my, oh, my, did I just find a perfect game to wrap it up. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I'll explain why in a bit. Another one that jumps out a little bit to kind of just roll on with the show here to wrap up, Memphis at Temple. Memphis is -5. Memphis doesn't quite have the freak athletes like they normally do, and I don't think Memphis' quarterback is that good. He just has some really fast guys with him. And they're a 5-point favorite at Temple. As I experienced myself, Temple's red zone defense is pretty damn good. At least they were against Maryland. I would look at Temple at home against Memphis getting 5 points. That's a pretty nice piece, I would say, there. Yep. And you know, we talked about Michigan. I could see their momentum, and I could see them kind of rolling on. I know 21.5 points is a lot, Chris, but they're going to Illinois. I can see this just kind of being one of those games where, like, let's keep the ball rolling. Illinois just got killed on the ground by your Gophers. I can see Michigan doing the exact same thing again. Again, I normally don't bet -21.5, but with the way the teams are going and the momentum and the fact that Michigan probably doesn't want to take their foot off the pedal, I could see Michigan having a blowout type of game like they had a couple weeks ago against Rutgers. So that one looks a little intriguing. Michigan -21.5. Hopefully their offense doesn't crap the bet after I just said this pick on our podcast. But that one looks a little fun to bet, sir.
Yeah, you're right. And one more, Washington at Arizona. And Arizona, I think it's three or four games in a row. Right, three games in a row, they're a 9.5-point underdog, right? My co-host is saying stay away, okay?
Oh, God.
It'll be
the third time in four games
Arizona has been the underdog. No huge surprise there, but they beat Colorado. They beat Texas Tech when they were the dog. And I don't know. I mean, last year or 2 years ago, Washington ended up beating them 35-28, close game. That's kind of my point. But the Huskies, that's the only victory. That was 2016 or 17. It's the only victory in the past 12 trips in Arizona, including bowls since 2017. 9.5-point spread would be the largest for Arizona at home as an underdog in about 3 years. And you know that 3 years, it was that Colorado team that we mentioned. They were 17.5-point favorite. So something to kind of just keep an eye on. We talk about bounce back sometimes. Washington's probably going to bounce back, but Arizona's on the up and up. They got a healthy Tate. And with a healthy Tate, you just never know. They're just a dangerous underdog team.
Oh, and
but stay away.
I don't trust Kevin Sumlin, and I don't trust the consistency of Washington. But a bet I do like is Missouri Ole Miss over 55 points. Missouri's offense has been getting rolling. Ole Miss has a pretty good offense with no defense at all. Mizzou never mind really putting up the points. So, I mean, Missouri's got to score 35. Ole Miss has to score over 20. Mizzou just lost their best defensive player of the year. I love that over. Now, granted, that game is at 7 o'clock, and there will be Penn State on, LSU on, USC Notre Dame on, so you probably won't watch the game, but I love over 55 for Ole Miss and Mizzou. Unless there's a quarterback injury to check out, that game should drift over. That's my big pick of the week. Mizzou, Ole Miss, over 55. Bet that one at the window.
There we have it. Take it to the window. That's something that I can't say about the Gophers just yet. Won't do that. Just won't do that. All right, hit me with crap.
I don't think we win. Clay Helton, Notre Dame's a good team. We have a third string quarterback.
Yeah.
I'd like to be optimistic, but I think Notre Dame wins like they normally do against us. So unfortunately, I come to the window with that harsh mellow, but whatever. Just to quickly recap, last week it was a massive Texas versus Texas battle shout out.
What happened. Exactly what I said happened. Exactly what I said was going to happen the opposite way. Remember, I said I'm going to take the home team.
26.
Should have taken
the people with the axes and working in the cave mines, working on, you know, grinding away blue collar people. They weren't able to knock down the Birds. The Roadrunners scored 26. The El Paso Miners and the Sun Bowl scored 16. The Roadrunners advanced to 2-3 in the year of Conference USA. But it is a new week. We're still above 500 for the year. And, Chris, I love this game because, you know, I'm a gambling guy, so I pay attention to a ton of stuff. I saw the Colorado State was minus 4 points. And in my brain, I literally said, who the F would make Colorado State be a four-point favorite on the road? Literally, it's one of those moments you're like, what? Who? How? What? You know, you have those moments. Colorado State, and this is on a Friday night, folks, so if you want to watch the game, you can. Colorado State, a joke of a squad, is minus four at New Mexico. It is an 8 p.m. kickoff. This game, it's just Colorado State's bad, and they're catching points on the road. I'm not sure if they, like, sent Vegas some marijuana. They're like, hey, dude, here's a good stack of weed. Make us a favorite, please, and, you know, we'll keep dishing out that good old green stuff to you. I don't know. And not to mention, it is at Dream Style Stadium. That sounds like kind of like a little bit of a hippie marijuana name.
It's a good call.
Colorado State, their last five games, they lost to San Diego State. They lost to Utah State. They lost to Toledo. They lost to Arkansas. I know the losses weren't the worst things in the world, but I'm blown away, sir. And actually, Vegas forgot to mention on ESPN that they lost to Colorado. Colorado beat Colorado State to start off the year. So I'm blown away. Enjoy this one, sir, as the Rams fight the Lobos. A pretty even animal matchup. If the mascots were to fight, it'd be a pretty fun one to see in a cage.
Yeah. I'd say so. And I mean, did you miss, though, their victory over Western Illinois' Leathernecks, dude? They beat the Western Illinois Leathernecks. That's a true story. True story that they
also,
fucking are called Leathernecks.
That's an FCS
what the hell is
team
a leather
for the record.
Right,
I don't
but they
know.
Played good, Marshall. I'm trying to find some positives here. What the hell is a Leatherneck? Does anybody know what a Leatherneck is? Anyone? All right. God damn it. I hate when I have to Google shit during my pick, but what the hell? I've heard it. Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, I thought it was just a Marine. Yeah, okay. Two planes undershoot their target and eight Leathernecks were wounded. Okay. So it's like two Vikings players in overtime trying to tackle Michael Vick. They run into each other. Okay.
Oh.
That makes sense now. Okay. So last week I went with the home team, even though I said, you know what? I should have stayed with the home team the week before until it hurt me, and it would have hurt me, but I said, you know, the road team's going to win because I think last year I kept taking the road team. So I'm kind of all over the place. You don't want to play yourself out of this thing. Sometimes you do it. Like you said, we're still over. We're 4-2, so we don't want to get near that that 500 mark. And
no, sir.
This is a doozy, though. This is a doozy. Both of them average right around 28, 27. Both of them giving up just a bunch of points. It's never good when you're giving up almost 10 points more than you score. That's never a good sign. They both can pass pretty well. New Mexico is giving up 386 through the air, whereas Colorado State, 386, dude, that's impressive. Like, who in the hell? And they played Notre Dame. Other than that, they played Liberty. They played running teams. Like, how the hell are you giving up all those yards? Oh, my God. Yeah, this is bad. But I know that caught your eye, okay? Now, the only thing that they're going to – oh, shit, here it is, dude. It's a run game against the pass game, dude. It's a run game against the pass game. 212 they put up, and New Mexico puts up 212 a game in rushing. But you have Colorado State giving up 214, dude. That's – oh, man, that really – and it's dream-style stadium. Oh, it's supposed to be sunny and 57 degrees. Vivid Seats have tickets available for $18. Low as $18. Pick them up. New Mexico tickets. Wow. Oh, man. Do I go with my home team feel? I feel like I want to get back on the road. God dang it. Maybe I just want to, because you brought up, Colorado State. How could I just want to outdo you in that one? How could you favor Colorado State on the road at 1-5? I still don't know, but I'm going with them, damn it. Oh, man. Okay, New Mexico State better turn the ball over, because if they can just hold that ball, that could be problems. But I'm going with the Rams on the road to get it done for the crappy pick of the week. Trying to get to 5-3, baby. 5-3 is where we need to be. I'm sorry, 4-2. That wouldn't be that. 5-2. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
New Mexico gives up 513 yards a game. Oh, Lord. Jesus. All right. Well, that wraps up another great edition of the College Football Podcast. We got Saturday night, just like get all your errands done, get your chores done, buy your beer, buy your food. You have USC Notre Dame, Penn State, Iowa, and you got LSU, Florida, and you got my Ole Miss, Mizzou over bet. You're full from 6 until 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Your life is booked. Man, call in sick from work, tell your wife or girlfriend you're busy and you just need to watch football, because you got a hell of a day. And as Chris mentioned, Alabama A&M is at 2:30. That could be a close game. If Tua puts on a show, I doubt it, but you never know. So until next Monday, when hopefully we'll come back with some winning bets, a miracle USC win, the Gophers go to 6-0. It could be a hell of a show next week. So tune in and enjoy it. The boys are out next week. Have a great week with your family and stay safe. We're out tonight. Peace.